with a brief little introduction to the Course in Miracles, I want to tell you what we're going to do. In session one, what I'd like to do is to give you a little bit of a background of what are some of the richer spiritual traditions, what they've been over the years. And after we do that, then I'm going to give you a summary of these four particular things that a guy by the name of Aldous Huxley put into manifestation. They're called the perennial philosophy, four basic steps. And then what I'd like to do is to show you how the Course in Miracles answers all of those particular things. So that's going to be session one. And then we'll take our break, and then in session two, we'll talk about the two basic teachings of Course in Miracles, namely the notion of forgiveness and creativity. I just want to tell you, this will be fun. And the creativity where we're all heading to become a fully creating being and to feel that presence within us, this is really our destiny. This is what we're really here to do. So again, I hope you'll enjoy this, and I hope it'll be as fun for each one of us as it will be for our viewers on YouTube as well. So let's begin. I want to begin, first of all, with a brief comment with the notion that what we're going to be doing is to try to present the Course in Miracles as a wonderful summary of all of the rich teachings of the past, but now put in contemporary language so that we have a book, A Course in Miracles, that could easily be your Bible. But I want you to be able to see it in such a way that it incorporates all of the great traditions of the past in a very contemporary presentation. So let's begin with kind of four basic ideas, four traditions of the past, to which we're going to integrate then the Course in Miracles. So let's begin, first of all, with the Hindu tradition. And if you simply follow your outline, it should follow pretty exactly. In the Hindu tradition, essentially what happened was the fact that when they look at a human being, they would just say that within every human being, you have this energy, you have this place within you. And this energy within you, this place within you, in Hindu terminology, was simply called the Atman. So you have this spiritual center within yourself. It's called the Atman. And the Atman was part of a larger universal energy that was simply called the Brahman. So in the Hindu tradition, goes back about 1500 to 2000 BC, you had this very simple notion that, well, each one of us sitting here right now, we have this presence within us. And this presence within us is a participation in a universal energy. So the whole notion of you have that Atman, that spirit within you, and it is part of that universal energy. So you begin to feel, and to understand that we're part of something very, very big. Unfortunately, at times, people sometimes forget that. And as a result, they don't realize how brilliant they are, how magnificent they are, and what the possibilities of our growth are able to be. So in the oldest Hindu tradition, by and large, we have this notion that we are participants in a larger universal energy. Just going to say it again, we're participants in a larger universal energy. We'll see where that fits into the Course in just a moment. And then secondly, we have the biblical tradition. And in the biblical tradition, very simple notion, and that is that in the book of Genesis, it simply says, well, we're made in the image and likeness of God. And so you just think about that. Sitting here right now, each one of us is in the image and likeness of God. And in the Bible, it talked about the notion that the Lord God breathed its spirit into each one of us, that this breath, this spirit within each one of us is our animating source. So that each one of us sitting here right now, we are simply in the image and likeness of God. So you begin to see the connection between these two particular traditions, this universal Hindu notion that there's a universal energy, and each one of us participates in that. In kind of the same biblical twist, the notion very simply that we are made in this image and likeness of this universal God. Sometimes we forget those things, but just realistically, that's really how we're made, how we're constituted. Now, we got to throw in two others. We always have to throw in Plato, my good friend, my good buddy. So with Plato, it was a very interesting thing. Plato had a very interesting name for what he called God in his terminology. And his basic name for God was simply the good. And Plato's name for God being the good, he then said, well, you know, if you're going to act, this is what you should do. He had what we called a lower ethics, and then he had a higher ethics. And he said, what you really ought to do, you ought to know and become like the good. You ought to know and become like the good. Oh, by the way, because you can. That's very, very important. You ought to know and become like the good because you can. So he would go on to say what the good has done for each one of us and that we should then, in a sense, be responsive. And what the good has done for each one of us, you know, very simply, it's given us life. It's given us intelligence, and it has modeled a way of acting that is aligned, namely goodness and kindness. So essentially what Plato would say is, well, you know, you ought to do the same thing. You ought to give life, be intelligent, and extend goodness wherever you possibly can. Not unlike, in a sense, the predecessors of Plato. So Plato called everything the good. The good would be another name for the Brahman, and that we should know and become like the good. We should know and become like the good. I just want to say again, because you can. Because you can. And that's a very important thing for us to be, get out of our limited humanity and to see the higher possibilities that are available to us. And then you have that Christian tradition, not always in the Christian churches, but at least in the Christian tradition of Jesus, where he said very, very simply that you ought to be perfect like your Heavenly Father is perfect. So when Jesus, in a sense, was asked, you know, how should we go about living? He said, be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. So you just take a look at that. So Jesus' words, be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Words of Jesus. Now, he didn't say these words at the end, but I'll say them. Because you can. Because you can. Because you can. You should be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect because, well, that's the energy that's in you. That's the energy that's in you. Not unlike Plato. So when Plato said, you ought to know and become like the good, the idea very simply is, well, that's the energy that's in you. That's the energy that's within you. Not unlike the Hindus, when they would just simply say, you have the Atman. The Atman is simply the Brahman within you. Not unlike the Bible. You're made in the image and likeness of God, so buck up, step up, move into this awareness. So one should be able to see in this brief overview of these traditions, there's this enormous tradition that somehow we're part of a larger universal energy. And that universal energy is the energy that we are able to live by. We can move in this direction, and this can be the expression of our life. This is what all the great teachers have presented. Now, with this in mind, what I'd like to do is take you to the views of a gentleman by the name of Aldous Huxley. And if you just go to the next page, you'll see Huxley's presentation, in outline anyways. It's so much easier when you have this background and you can look at the Course in Miracles and just realize what a great, great, great book it is. Those of you that are studying it now, I think you'll especially enjoy having this background because it'll be very helpful to you. So let's begin with a guy by the name of Aldous Huxley. And he presented back in the 20th century what he called the perennial philosophy. So let me just kind of put that on the board, the perennial philosophy. And in the perennial philosophy, the perennial is just like the flowers you plant. It's when there are perennials, they're all the time. And philosophy simply means wisdom. So the perennial philosophy is simply the wisdom for all time. It's the stuff you need to know. And once you know this stuff, there really isn't anything else you have to know. But you have to know this stuff. So Huxley presented these four particular elements that are extremely interesting, I think, for all of us. And what I'm going to suggest to you, of course, is these elements are not found only in the traditions of the past, but these four elements are found especially in the Course in Miracles. And it's very important, I want you to know clearly, that the Course in Miracles summarizes all of these great spiritual traditions and presents them in a way in Western culture language that we can understand and grasp a lot more easily than we can the Sanskrit, the Jewish, and other traditions that are very, very transcultural and really don't fit many times into what we do here. So let's begin with these four basic ideas of Aldous Huxley. The first one is that everything comes from one source. Very simple notion that everything comes from one source. Now you can call the source whatever you want to call the source. You can call the source Yahweh, call the source Father, call the source Brahman, call the source Allah, call the source consciousness, call the source energy. There is one universal principle of life from which everything has come. We'll talk more about that a little bit later on. So the first thing Huxley said was everything comes from one source. Fairly easy to comprehend and to understand. The second thing he said is you can know the source. Well, that's nice to know. You can know the source. And you can know the source in two ways. So that you can know the source. And you can know the source in two ways. The first is simply by logic or using your mind or using your reasoning. You can think your way into an understanding of the source. So you can use the word thinking over here, or thought. Some of you perhaps maybe took a philosophy course in college, and you perhaps labored under the five proofs for the existence of God by Thomas Aquinas, because Thomas Aquinas was one of the people who tried to prove the existence of God. And most people feel they did a very good job, and he simply used the mind as a way of doing it. In traditional Hindu thinking, it's simply called jnana yoga, same general idea. And what Thomas Aquinas actually did, he really kind of took two paths. The one was kind of an interesting path. It was simply the path of Aristotle, without going into all of Aristotle, although a fun person to go into, might I say. What essentially Thomas Aquinas said was, anything that happens has to have a cause. And the notion of Aristotle was efficient causality. For every cause, for everything that occurs, there has to be a cause. So let's just say Sherry here. So Sherry is here, and then you ask, well, where did Sherry come from? Well, she came from her parents, and they came from their parents, and they came from their parents. And then maybe they came from plants and animals or fish in the sea, and then they came from nitrogen, hydrogen, whatever it might be. So the notion very simply is that everything seems to come from something else. Eventually, there has to be an uncaused cause. The uncaused cause is simply the source. Eventually, if everything has to have a cause, then there has to be something that did not cause the first cause. And Thomas Aquinas simply called that the uncaused cause. I don't know if you've thought about the uncaused cause recently or not, but it's just kind of an interesting thing. It was the uncaused cause. So people would sometimes say, well, what caused the uncaused cause? And I said, you got to get this. It's an uncaused cause. Nothing caused the uncaused cause. It simply always was, always will be, etc. There had to be a source. But then Thomas Aquinas, for those who like to play with these things, they're just kind of fun. Thomas Aquinas had this other notion, and it's just kind of fun, is the notion of what he called a contingent being and a necessary being. And what he simply said was that we are contingent beings. A contingent being just is something or someone that did not have to exist. We're here, but we did not have to be here. And what he would simply say is, well, if you're here, say if Emily is here, but did not have to be here, that's what a contingent being is. So that what you come to understand is that in order for contingent beings to be, there has to be a necessary being that always was. I'll just say it again. In order for a contingent being to be, and a contingent being is one that could not have been, you must have a necessary being that always was. If you didn't have a necessary being that always was, then you wouldn't have any contingent beings, because every contingent being is, in a sense, always going back to a necessary being whence it got its start. So they're rather compelling reasons if you want to take the time to think. Some people don't want to take the time to think. Some people just like to argue and really don't take the time to think deeply. But anyways, Huxley said was you can know the source either by reasoning, using your mind, thought, and so on, or you can also know it by, in a sense, intuition or feeling. Or he's sometimes called simply direct knowing. Direct knowing. And by feeling or intuition, he means not using your mind, but rather there's something within your spirit, something at the very center of your being. Call it your heart if you want. Most people would just kind of call it the soul. There's something within you that feels this direct connection to that universal energy. There's something within you just knows, doesn't have to think about it, it feels that connection. And for someone who feels that connection, no one has to prove it to them. They just know that there's something within them that is part of that universal energy. So you don't have to go through all of this thinking of Thomas Aquinas. You might just want to say, well, you know, there's just something within me that knows. It's precognitive. Don't have to think about it. It's just there. And for many people, they're very happy just to simply know what's there. So that when Huxley said you can know the source either by thinking about it, reasoning to it, or you can know it directly by an intuitive path within yourself, what he was simply suggesting, in either way, you can know the source. The source is not a mystery. It's not as mysterious as you think. And the reason why it's not as mysterious as you think is because the source that's out there is the same source that's in you. It's not as mysterious as you think. We'll talk about that as we progress, though. The third basic notion is a very, very interesting one. I'm going to take this off the board, if I may. The third notion, and this probably is where the Course in Miracles shines better than anything. The Course in Miracles just has this shining, shining moment, I think, that really beautifies this contemporary approach in life, and it kind of escalates beyond the old traditions. Huxley said that the old traditions, the more traditional views of life and so on, they seem to indicate that there were two senses of self. There were two senses of self. So his third basic point was there are two senses of self. The first one, very simply, was the fact that there is kind of the worldly, everyday self that is constituted by our life circumstances and primarily by our physicality, our body. So there is the everyday human, worldly, physical self. And it's primarily determined by two things, the world and your body. And when you think about that, that's probably true. Most of us are engaged in our life circumstances, our worldly situations, and our physicality, very, very important. So that when you look at your body and your worldly situation, I think most people would say, well, that pretty well sums me up. I'm involved in these particular situations in life, and I have this physical body, and these situations and my physical health, these are the two most important things there are. And for many people, that's how they view their life, that their life is pretty much, in a sense, a result of the life circumstances in which they're engaged and their physical body, their physical health. And not that those are bad things by any means, but what Huxley said was, well, that seems to be one self, but then there seems to be another self. And the other self is that non-physical inner you. That's an interesting notion. So the second self is kind of the non-physical inner you. And this non-physical inner you kind of has three components to it. These three components are, first of all, your emotions. Your thoughts, and in general, let's just call it the soul. So what Huxley said was, there's an inner you besides an outer you. So if this is the outer you, well, this seems to be an inner you. And you have these emotions, you have these thoughts, and you have these inner feelings, this soul awareness within yourself. And he just said, it's just very difficult to get these two things integrated. It's very hard to put these things together. Now, I just want to tell you, this is where the Course in Miracles will shine. It will shine. We're not quite there yet, but it will shine when we get there. But it's very important for Huxley to be able to say that, because isn't that the truth? Sometimes it seems like there's two of us. There's a part of us that is very much engaged in what's going on and in our physical body, and yet there's another part of us that there's an inner you of your emotions, your thoughts, your values, the principles you know. So it's very difficult to be able to put these two things together, the outer you and the inner you. And probably for most people, we just go back and forth, flip-flopping, and never quite getting it right. Always trying to, how do you balance these things? The fourth of Huxley's basic presentations, then, is there is a path of transformation. A path of transformation. And the path of transformation, the path of transformation that becomes extremely important for Huxley, is that the whole notion behind it is to reunite you with your source. The whole purpose of any religion, of any philosophy would be, well, it ought to reunite you with your source. You ought to connect yourself to your source again. Wouldn't that be logical? If you came from a source, then the path of transformation would be, well, you should be able to reconnect with the source. So that's a pretty reasonable thing to assume. So the path of transformation is to reconnect with the source. So when you start thinking about these things, in the Hindus tradition, it would be yoga. Yoga would be a way of reconnecting with the source. In some of the Christian religions, there may be attendance to church, sacraments, whatever it might be. But the whole notion behind everything is, well, you should be able to reconnect with the source. Very, very interesting ideas. So let me just briefly summarize, in a sense, then, the perennial philosophy. Then, of course, what we want to do is to see how the Course in Miracles fits into the perennial philosophy, and bless you, Marlene, and integrates then into the fuller picture. So the perennial philosophy very simply says that, well, realistically, everything comes from one source energy, is one universal presence. You can know this source, by the way. That's nice to know. You can either think your way into that, or you can feel your way into that. That seem to be two of us, and that's the discrepancy at times. How do you connect this outer you involved with the world and your physicality, all of the relationships you're with, putting food on the table, working, all of these things, and the inner you that is much more personal, feelings, emotions, thoughts, inner self, soul. And the fourth basic idea is that there should be a path of transformation that gets you reconnected back to the source. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Now, pretty good, pretty interesting ideas, I think, and trying to put all of them into a nutshell. So now, what we need to do is to take a look at the source, take a look at the Course in Miracles, and kind of show you, in a sense, how this then fits into the four basic notions of Huxley. This is vintage source, vintage course material. This is vintage material. So I just want you to know, if you can know these few things, by and large, you'll know the Course in Miracles. It's a big fat book, but it's always reducible to a few things. So what we want to do now is to be able to put the course into the perennial philosophy and see, and just see if the course then integrates all of the other stuff that came before it. I mean, that's our goal. Does it fit into the perennial philosophy? And if so, does it by and large integrate everything else that has come before it so we can see it as a pretty good package in contemporary Western society? So of course what I'm going to say to you is absolutely, I think this is true. So let's begin first of all. The first thing the Course is going to say by way of the notion of the perennial philosophy, it talks about the notion of a source. So as the perennial philosophy very simply said, everything in a sense comes from the source. Now what becomes extremely interesting for us is to a quotation that comes from the Course in Miracles that's very interesting. What the Course in Miracles will simply say is, you are an idea in the mind of God that has not left its source. Well, you have to take a look at that. So, you are an idea in the mind of God which has not left its source. Well, that's pretty interesting. sitting here right now, the notion very simply is that, well, you've not left your source. There's a presence within you that comes from the source that has never been left. It's not just that you are connected to the source, but you cannot not be connected to the source. The source loves you in connection at all times. There's never been any separation. The only separation in the Course's view would simply be in your mind. You might think that you've separated from the source, but that's not the way the source looks at it. You might project sin into your life, but that's not the way the source would look at it. In fact, that nice little acronym for sin, remember we talked about that? Self-imposed nonsense. It's a wonderful acronym. It's a self-imposed nonsense. The self-imposition is thinking you could leave the source. But to know that you're sitting here right now and you are connected to the source and you cannot not be connected to the source, you begin to realize, well, I desire to be fully conscious. Well, you should. You should. Because, well, that's the energy that is really constituting you. As long as you stay in the openness to receive that energy into you. Real easy to become distracted, might I say. So easy to get lost in what's going on out there, or what's going on in your body, and to forget about the inner you. So this is an extremely important thing for each one of us to realize, that we're an idea in the mind of God, and we have not left our source. Just a hugely, hugely important thing. Remember the second idea from the Prunia philosophy? You can know the source. So very, very important. You can know the source. Now the Course in Miracles is going to intervene just a little bit. It's going to say, oh yes, you can use your mind to know the source. But the Course in Miracles says it just a little differently. It just says the Holy Spirit can use any part of you to know the source. So that the Holy Spirit can use your mind to know the source. So in the Course in Miracles, there's always a connection between the Holy Spirit and any part of you, which is really rather interesting. So just kind of take this little thing here, very, very interesting. So the Holy Spirit can use the mind to know the source. This is a pretty important idea, so that the Course in Miracles would always encourage you to use your mind, but what you have to understand is the Course has kind of two levels of knowing, and one of the levels of knowing is simply called the world of perception, so that in the Course in Miracles, where it says the Holy Spirit uses the mind to know the source, whenever we're talking about the mind, we're talking about simply a world of perception. Just want you to just note that. Don't get real hairy about that, but just to note that. You perceive things. You perceive things in the world. But the Holy Spirit can use those to elevate into higher knowledge. The Holy Spirit can use those to elevate them into higher knowledge. So that you can use the world of perception and it can come into a higher understanding of life. In addition to that, however, the Holy Spirit, the Course in Miracles has a second way of knowing. It's not simply the way of perception, but it's called the way of knowledge. So in the way of knowledge, this is just such a wonderful, wonderful teaching. What the Holy Spirit would say, what the Course in Miracles would say, is that knowledge is your inner knowing. It is the inner knowing. It is your intuition. It is your feeling. It is an inner knowing. And usually this is called the Holy Spirit. There is just a part of you. There's just a part of you that just knows its connection to that universal energy. And we'll be doing this shortly. Whenever you go into that inner part of you, you just know that presence that is within you. You're automatically reconnected. And this knowledge, this inner knowing, this Holy Spirit, sometimes you can call it simply the presence. You'll see in the Course in Miracles, it'll call it the presence. And don't you have that on a regular basis? It's a presence. Sometimes it's called a light, and the light is a knowing. You know this. It's a knowing. It's wonderful to know it. You're not thinking. You know it. So sometimes it's called a knowing. Sometimes it's called the now, reminiscent of Eckhart Tolle. Sometimes it's called the now. There is just this knowing, this direct connection within you. And this probably more than anything else is what is highlighted by the Holy, is what is highlighted by the Course. You have this Holy Spirit. Well, you should have the Holy Spirit because you haven't left your source. That's a pretty important thing, don't you think? You should have the Holy Spirit because you haven't left the source. So, in a sense, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, shame on us. It's not that we don't have it. It's just that, well, at that moment, we're just not recognizing it. So it's very important for us to know that, yeah, we should have this because, well, it's part of who we are. It's in the third area that the Course in Miracles really shines. Remember we said in the perennial philosophy, the notion very simply is that there's kind of two parts of you. There's the everyday worldly human part of you, and then there seems to be that non-physical, mental, emotional, spiritual part of you. And it's almost like there's two senses of self. Well, here's where the Course is really good. What the Course will simply say is, there's only one identity. There's only one identity, but there are two thought systems. There's only one identity, but two thought systems. Very, very important. So in the Course, this is where the Course shines very beautifully. There's only one identity. And the identity, very simply, is your soul self. It is your soul self. It is the inner you. It is your soul self. There's only one identity. But there are two thought systems. There are two thought systems. Now those of you, when you understand and look at the Course, it's very important to understand the two thought systems that are there. Two thought systems that's simply one identity. Let's be clear now. In those two thought systems, there is, first of all, the world of perception. I'll be clear now on this. It's the world of perception. And the world of perception simply uses your brain and your body to see what's going on in the world. Your brain and your body have to know what's going on in the world. So that in perception, essentially what it boils down to, it uses your brain and your body to ascertain what's going on. in the world. I'm giving you a rather loose translation of all of this, just want you to know, but I mean, that's essentially what it boils down to. Perception is being able to see what's going on. Uses your brain, that computer, that physicality of yours, to see what's happening. That is a secondary level. The primary level is simply the world of knowledge. The primary level is the world of knowledge or of knowing. And the primary system is soul awareness. It is soul awareness. And the primary feature of the soul awareness is the inner you gives meaning to what is happening to the outer you. The inner you, soul awareness, gives meaning to what is happening to the world of perception. This is such a fundamental point, so that the inner you gives meaning to the outer you. The inner you, the soul awareness, the knowing, gives meaning to what is happening to the outer you. For most people, unfortunately, it's the reverse. The outer you prohibits the inner you from ever getting any meaning into it. It simply accepts what's happening out there without the input of the knowing of the soul. Unfortunately, so many times what's happening out there, simply taken by itself, then limits your base, your most important part of knowing, and that is the spirit that is within you. So that so many times what happens is we become servants in the world of perception. The outer you has a tendency to take over the inner you. And rather than seeing, in a sense, the outer you, rather than giving meaning to it from the inner you, the outer you stifles the inner you. So in the Course in Miracles, one of the most important things we can talk about is the whole notion of soul expansion. Soul expansion, expanding the inner you. Expanding the inner you. Just such an important thing, expanding the inner you. Do you see then where your desire to be fully conscious? To be fully conscious is not simply to know what's going on out there. To be fully conscious means to know what's going on in here and to understand its full expansion, its higher movement into consciousness. And then to bring that higher movement of consciousness to the meaning of what's going on in the world. You'll see it differently. You'll see it immensely differently. I can't say enough about how the soul expansion is the resolution of all of our problems in life. It's the resolution of all of your problems. We'll talk more about that when we get into forgiveness. But once you understand the immortality of the soul and how it reacts and how it influences things in everyday life, now we have the problem solver. The fourth notion, very simply, is that there has to be a path of transformation. There has to be a path of transformation. So in the Course in Miracles, quite frankly, You have three parts to the Course in Miracles in general. You have the text, you have the workbook, and you have the teacher's manual. So what do you think would be the path of transformation?
The workbook.
The workbook. There you go. It's the path of transformation. So you begin to realize, well, that's what the workbook is. Oh, yes. Yeah, that's what the workbook is. There are 365 lessons, one for each day of the year, that should you be willing, you can then take each one of those lessons and use those as your guide in life. Now, I just want to tell you, in the first three lessons in the workbook, probably the most fruitful of all things occur, and that is the notion that you're the one that gives meaning to what's happening. You are a meaning giver happening. You are a meaning giver occurrence. That is probably one of the big shifts right off the bat, that you're the one that gives meaning to what is occurring. Okay, so a brief summary again of the Course in Miracles. You're not only come from the source, but you have that connection. You have never left your source. Do you see how that integrates all of the great traditions, the Hindu tradition, biblical tradition, Plato? You've not left your source. The second basic thing is, well, you can know the source whenever you want. You can either know the source by simply thinking about it, or you can intuit it. But then the Holy Spirit helps you to realize the connection, whether it's your mind or whether it's your soul. You can even use your body. We just call that yoga. You can use, we call karma yoga. You can use activities in the world. The Holy Spirit can use anything to simply open you up to that which is greater. And then that third basic notion where the Course in Miracles shines, you don't have two senses of self. You have one identity, but you do have two thought systems. The first thought system is to use your head and your body so you know what's happening, but not allow that to be the ultimate meaning, because you can get lost in that. It's the second thought system that is the more important one, and that is to know the presence of the soul that is within you, and from the soul that is connected to the source, you would then give meaning to what is occurring. And then lastly, the path of transformation is the actual workbook itself. Hopefully that has made sense to you. So what I'd like to do now then is to, in a brief amount of time, we'll finish the first presentation. I want to bring you into a meditation that is just kind of fun. And it'll be a simple meditation, but we're going to kind of just expand ourselves a little bit. So I'm going to dim the lights a little bit, and we'll move into meditation. So again, let us just be thankful that we have this wonderful opportunity, and we're gathered here together today with our viewers, and just to be able to set the intention. We want to know ourselves. We want to know the beauty of who we are, and especially our connection to that source energy. Would you set this as your intention, your connection to the source, its presence in you? Let's now begin our meditation, as we are wont to do, by simply using our normal everyday breathing. Just focus on your natural breathing rhythm, breathing in and breathing out. I'll come back to guide you, but just begin with your normal breath, nothing forced. If a thought comes into your mind, just let it pass and just resume your natural breathing rhythm. Please begin. Now, to assist you with your breathing, to stay focused, let me just suggest this set of guide words. When you inhale, just say to yourself the word in. When you exhale, say to yourself the word out. In and out, your natural breathing rhythm. Stay focused, don't be lackadaisical, but nothing forced. Please continue in and out. Now what I ask you to do, you would simply place your hand over your lung area, over your heart. And would you just feel the breath entering into you? When your lungs expand, when you breathe in, when you inhale, just feel the lungs expanding. The movement is subtle but clear. And when you exhale, just feel your lungs deflating. Emptying. Again, the movement is subtle but clear. Concentrate to feel the in and the out. Feel the in and the out. Please continue. You may place your hand back on your lap. And as you continue the breath, nice and easy, I'm going to ask you to notice three things. Would you first of all notice how calm you feel, how peaceful, very alert, very attentive, but peaceful. Notice this. This is the inner you. It's an inner presence. It has nothing to do with the outside world, but you're very present. Just notice this. There's a serenity, tranquility. And would you notice how good this feels? Now I'm going to ask you to notice the second thing. Would you notice that this peace within you has an identity to it? It's you. There's a me in your inner peace. There's an I that's there. Would you say to yourself, this is me. This is me. This is the place where I come from now. I'm not in my head, I'm not in the world, but I'm in me. This is your soul self. I'll say it again. This is your soul self. Now, I'm going to ask you to notice a third thing. would you notice that your soul self is a participation in your source energy? Just notice the expansion when you move from your soul self to the more universal source energy. Take your time, but notice the expansion. My soul self that is part of a universal source. Now let's play. Focus on your soul self, that inner you. Now expand it to the source, the larger you. You can do it. Expand it. Feel the connection. Ah, yes, yes, yes. Now, focus on the source. And then funnel the source down to your soul self. Let's do the movement again. Soul self to source. Do the movement. Feel what that's like. Soul self to source. Expand. Now, let's reverse it. Source to soul self. Feel the funneling down. And yet the same energy. One more time. Soul self to source. Feel the expansion. And then source to soul self. Feel the movement. Here I am again. Here I am. Same energy. Just continue the breath. Now, without any movement away from your center, bring that energy back here into this room and just feel it encircling all of us in this room. No movement away from that source. And then again, no movement away from the source energy. Feel that energy filling up every part of your physical body. Just feel it in every nook and cranny in all of your organs. Just feel it everywhere from head to toe. Just moving right through you right now. Feel its presence. And lastly now, again, no movement away from your source energy as you. No movement from your source energy as you. Just slowly open your eyes and allow your soul, source, self to shine through.